Packers jumping around. They rush four. Plenty of time for John. Now squeezes, steps up in the pocket. LA can run inside the 10. Head first. He dives. Oh, 5 yard line. My goodness.
All right, welcome in another Locked On Broncos podcast, another week one edition of the Locked On Broncos podcast, and this is our final preview for Carolina Panthers and the Denver Broncos opening the NFL season on September 8th, Thursday Night Football, for the week one opener for the defending Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos. And the party's already started in Denver. The downtown is painted orange and blue. There's parties pretty much on every corner that you could go and be a part of heading up into game time. So, I mean, really, the NFL season is upon us, and the atmosphere is just so thrilling and exciting to be around. We're going to get you in pretty much in-depth Broncos-Panthers game preview here. We can actually start talking about football games that matter. We're going to get you some inside-the-numbers info, my keys to victory, and then we'll kind of wrap things up with final predictions. I'm Adam Kinney. I'm the host of this show, the Lockdown Broncos podcast. I'm a Denver sports media insider. You can follow me on Twitter at Adam Kinney Radio. Make sure you're following the show as well at Lockdown Broncos. We'll be tweeting from that periodically to get you some breaking news. There was some breaking news today we're going to get into in just a second here. Also be communicating through both of those feeds during games. If you guys have any feedback or comments or just want to talk some Broncos football, that's what this thing is all about. So make sure you're subscribing to us on the Locked On Podcast Network and all the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, both on Audio Boom and iTunes. All right, before we jump into the game preview, let's get you the news of the day, and that pertains to wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders. As around 3 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon, John Elway tweeted out that the team had agreed to a contract extension with wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders, re-signed on a 3-year, $33 million deal. He has $27 million guaranteed and now is a member of the Denver Broncos through 2019. And if things couldn't get more exciting for people in Broncos country, Elway had to drop the hammer on this today, and John had some very nice things to say about Emmanuel. John, in a press release, said, "Emmanuel has proven himself as a great player and is one of the most productive receivers in this league. He plays with intensity, and we love the way he competes. We're thrilled Emmanuel is going to be a Bronco for many, many more years to come." And there's a couple things that are important in this. And John Elway got some flack from a lot of people in the media and fans out there in his first couple of years as the Broncos general manager, just because he wasn't really getting this reputation of taking care of his guys. And that's kind of what he developed, because if you weren't really on Elway's side, then you weren't on the Broncos' side, so he was going to show you the door. You saw it with Sean Moreno, which, hey, probably a good thing the Broncos didn't re-sign him. You saw it with Julius Thomas, among some other guys that the Broncos left walk in free agency. Eric Decker comes to mind, along with Malik Jackson, just what you saw last year. So, and a lot of that's just a numbers game in the way that the business thing shakes out, but Elway's kind of developed this reputation for, you know, he can replace you. So there's not a lot of loyalty there, but he's really turned that around in a complete 180 because of the contracts that he's given to first Demaryius Thomas last offseason, as he was under the franchise tag deadline, and he got the deal just a skosh under Dez Bryant's deal from what he got from the Cowboys. Obviously, with what happened with Von Miller this season, he showed some loyalty to him and making him the highest paid defense player in NFL history. And then now you see the shoe drop with Emmanuel Sanders as well, and there's some guys sprinkled in. Derek Wolfe got a nice contract because he took a hometown discount. Same with Chris Harris, who is making far beneath what he should be as one of the top five corners, maybe top three corners in all the NFL. But it's good to see Emmanuel Sanders re-signing with the Broncos, and this is also important because it's just going to make the quarterback of the future for this team so much better. Whether that's Trevor Siemian or Paxton Lynch, probably more on the Paxton Lynch side of things, but having that continuity and these electric weapons at the top for you when you're a young quarterback, that's going to go a very, very long way. We've heard Elway for the last couple of seasons saying, hey, we're here to build this team to win now and to win later. And this is another sign that he's putting his money where his mouth is, literally, and saying that the Broncos are going to be able to win later with this group of players that Elway has constructed on this roster. And talent aside, that's obviously a big key why Emmanuel Sanders is still here, but he's really jumped on a leadership role from day one. I mean, even coming in when Peyton Manning was his quarterback, and he might have been the fourth or fifth option on the Broncos offense. He kind of came in and made his presence felt early on. He's really been embraced by the locker room and much more of a vocal leader, which I think the Broncos are really, really going to need going forward without Peyton Manning on the team anymore. Demaryius Thomas is kind of their face of their leadership. We talked about it on yesterday's show that he was named as a team captain. I was a little surprised by that just because of his calm, cool demeanor. And Emmanuel Sanders is kind of that opposite personality, which is a great thing to have in the locker room. And yeah, it's tough for some of these young guys, like Cody Latimer, who's been trying to make his print on this league and this team for the last couple of seasons, drafted in the second round, and he's just not getting a lot of opportunity. But through with signing Emmanuel Sanders through 2019, that's going to make the future all the more brighter as well for some of these younger wide receivers on the roster.
And now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
Hardship. My grandmother would go through it every month to pay her insurance bill. First, she would handwrite a paper check, in cursive. Then, using her own tongue, she would wet a stamp for an envelope. Today, however, we need not weary our hands and tongues. Today, we can pay our GEICO bill with the GEICO app. Away with hardship, in with bill pay on the GEICO app. Thank you.
All right, now that the news is out of the way, let's jump into the game itself. The NFL season is upon us, and the Broncos are hosting the Carolina Panthers in a Super Bowl 50 rematch at Sports Authority Field at Mile High on Thursday night, and the world could not be more excited to have NFL football back. Let's kind of jump in here with some inside the numbers. The first thing that I want to bring up, the first number I'm going to bring up is 315. That's the number of total yards that the Panthers gained of offense in Super Bowl 50. That's kind of a surprising number because the Broncos, on the other hand, only gained 194. So a little bit of lopsided yardage there. You would kind of assume that the Panthers might have ran away with the game, but and only scoring 10 points. So that's going to bring me to my first key to victory for the Denver Broncos is bend but don't break. It's something they were so good at last season all year long, and you know they could let Cam and Ted Ginn and Greg Olsen, Jonathan Stewart, you know, go wherever they want to between the 20s. But just as long as they're preventing them from capitalizing in the red zone and putting points on the board, that's really the thing that matters the absolute most. The next number I want to get to is kind of on a related note, 4 turnovers. That's what the Panthers had in Super Bowl 50 to the Broncos 2, which allowed the team to have a defensive touchdown scored by DeMarcus Ware from the strip sack by Von Miller. And so my next key to victory for the Broncos is going to be keep the nightmare going for Cam and company. They're already kind of, the Broncos are still kind of in their heads with everything that happened. Capitalize on that. And so if you're going to make this game about revenge, exploit that and let your pass rushers do their thing. And even let more people get involved in on the fun, because DeMarcus Ware is likely going to have a smaller role this year, just being purely a leader and then maybe coming in on passing situations just to be an extra pass rusher. You don't really want to see him on the field as much. You want to see a much more expanded role from Shaq Barrett and Shane Ray in getting to the quarterback, along with Dakota Watson, who played his way onto this roster just by proving what he could do going to get the quarterback. So I want to key into those three guys having a big night and getting introduced with Cam Newton and showing him that there's more than just Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware on this roster chasing him down. The next number I want to bring up is 0, and that's the number of pass attempts that Trevor Siemian has under his belt in his NFL career. And so my key for the Broncos on Thursday night is also going to be make it easy on your own quarterback. Gary Kubiak talked at length yesterday. I said it on the show yesterday that, you know, he wants to have faith in Trevor Siemian and kind of let him loose, and you can't handcuff him too much. But at the same time, you know, just let the game come to him. Develop a game plan. Kubiak's so great with his scripts and being able to drop the first 15 plays, just like Mike Shanahan did when Kubiak was the offensive coordinator here in the late 90s, of, you know, just kind of being able to get points on the board pretty easy early on in games. So let's see what Kubiak's game plan is. Maybe early on you see some quick routes to Demaryius Thomas on a screen pass or some dump outs to Devontae Booker out of the backfield. Let's get a couple of the rookies involved and just let the game come easy to Trevor Siemian. A lot of that will also help a great deal with what the Broncos do in their running game. Although, because that was kind of the game plan in Super Bowl 50, is let C.J. Anderson grind his way to 90 yards rushing or whatever he ended. I think he got over 100, but you know, he was kind of the key offensive factor in that game. But I'd say that the Panthers probably got weaker in the secondary, obviously losing Josh Norman. So there might be some ability for Trevor Siemian and company to exploit that and go deep a couple times and test the waters and see how they are throwing the ball deep at Mile High to Demaryius Thomas or the newly re-signed Emmanuel Sanders. So just let the game come to him and make things easy on your pretty much, you could call him a rookie quarterback. All right, there you have it, a little inside the numbers and my keys to victory for the Broncos. Bend but don't break, win the turnover battle. That's kind of a given any week in the NFL, but it's something they were able to exploit in Super Bowl 50, and I think that they could replicate some of that same success there, and Trevor Siemian, make the game easy for him. Those are my three keys to victory for the Broncos, and I think that they may have a secret weapon in Trevor Siemian, at least in this week one. You see a lot of times in the NFL when a backup quarterback comes in, he kind of plays above his pay grade a little bit just because there's no film on him. The Panthers are trying to figure out how to prep for this guy, and he really doesn't – they don't have anything to go after because of there's just simply no film on the guy. So they're either looking at the three games of preseason football that he played this year or, you know, what he did at Northwestern. There's not really a lot to go off of. So Trevor Siemian might be the dark horse in this game. That's going to bring you to my prediction for this Super Bowl 50 rematch. I just think the moment is so big for the Broncos to have one more week, one more chance to really celebrate and cement that Super Bowl victory. And I think that the Super Bowl hangover is a real thing in the National Football League. And I think that the Panthers are still, I talked about it at length yesterday, they're going about this the wrong way, that they're dwelling too much on their defeat, their 24-10 defeat in Super Bowl 50, and it's just going to let them get in their head. So I think that it's not going to be as much of a lopsided victory for the Broncos, because obviously the game was a lot closer than what the score indicated in Super Bowl 50, but I still think that the defense is going to come out energized with the crowd there at Sports Authority Field at Mile High. People are going to be loud. People are going to be screaming. It's going to be on their side, which they didn't have in the Super Bowl, and I think they'll still force Cam Newton into some mistakes and hold the high-flying Panthers offense to 16 points. Well, I think the Broncos can kind of scrap their way with a couple Brandon McManus field goals and a couple of touchdowns to 20 points for them. So I'm going to say the Broncos come away victorious 20-16 in week one against the Carolina Panthers and improve to 1-0 on the season after their Super Bowl campaign. So there's my final score prediction for the game. Before we get out of here, I'll give you a couple more predictions of just what I kind of think I'm going to see unfold on Thursday night football in this week one contest against the Carolina Panthers for the Denver Broncos. We'll start with CJ Anderson. I think that's where the offense is going to be able to click and get everything going. And like I said, make things easier for Trevor Siemian. I think he gets 120 yards on the ground and also gets a touchdown. Speaking of Trevor Siemian, I think through the first 4 weeks of the season, if the Broncos are going to be successful, it's going to be because he's going to have to channel his inner Alex Smith. And what I say by that is not throw a lot of passes, have a high completion percentage, and don't really turn the ball over. Although he's essentially a rookie quarterback, and Alex Smith threw a lot of picks in his day as a rookie. So I think he's still going to be susceptible to that, just probably because he's going to be trying to force things down the field. But I think they'll be smart picks and not really in situations that are going to compromise the Broncos too much, almost kind of like an extended punt. So Trevor Siemian, I see in this game in his NFL debut, I think he gets one touchdown, probably to someone that you wouldn't really think. I don't know that it's going to come to the likes of Demaryius Thomas or Emmanuel Sanders. Maybe Andy Janovich, just because that would be kind of a cool story, or everybody's fantasy sleeper in Denver, Virgil Green, to get a touchdown. He'll get one touchdown, one interception on the day. I think the Panthers will still pick him off for one and dupe him into some kind of mistake. 16-22, something to the likes of that, with 160 yards in the air. The Broncos are going to try and do things on the ground here, and so I just don't think they're going to ask a lot of Siemian in this first game, and I think if the Broncos are going to be victorious, you don't want to see Trevor Siemian throwing for more than 200 yards or over 25 pass attempts. My final prediction for the game, I think Vaughn, he gets his swag back just right where he left off. I think he's going to get Cam twice, and one of them's going to be for a forced fumble. So there you have it. Those are my predictions. I'm predicting a Denver Broncos victory 20-16 over the Panthers in week one. Let me know your thoughts, who you think's going to come out on top in this game. Tweet me at Adam Kinney Radio. And we'll be back on Friday to give you our post-game reaction. I'll make fun of myself if these predictions are totally out of left field and something completely different happens during the game. But I know Broncos fans in Broncos country would be much more happy on Friday if I was right in some of these predictions. So let me know your thoughts at Adam Kinney Radio, at Locked On Broncos on Twitter. Make sure you're tuning in to all the great podcasts and affiliate podcasts on the Locked On Sports Podcast Network. Check us out on iTunes and on audioboom.com. Until next time, this has been the Locked On Broncos Podcast.